Welcome to Grazing Hell, the one and only podcast made by a cow. And today I've got a special guest for the second time. Woo, woo, woo. And that is the Pringles guy.
Oh. Oh, the roasting commences right away.
I know.
Yeah, it's
Noah
me.
Noah Sampson.
Hi, thank you for having me. And I'm here. It's sponsored by Pringles, this episode is. And the coronavirus, too, as well. So, double sponsorship.
My karma for bullying you, like, for looking like the Pringles guy is me swallowing a bit of dust and coughing.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, that's
I'm
my karma.
Glad to be here. And
yes, thank you for coming. Tell us about, update us on things. How's your week going?
Yeah, it's been good. I just moved recently, so I kind of got settled in about a week ago, and I've been able to do a couple videos, and I just finished a video that I was editing for someone else last night. And yeah, it's been nice. I went for a hike yesterday, and just been chilling out. The weather here is supposed to be nice here. It's California, but it's been very rainy. But so I haven't been able to like really go to the beach or anything like that. But besides that, it's been good. Yeah. How are you? How's your week?
Well, I've been quarantining because I have COVID. So not as exciting as yours. You know, it's fine. It's not a bad case. It's just sort of, I don't know. I just feel myself getting a bit delirious, but I don't know if that's just cabin fever from not having, you know, human contact and being in the house. Like, I think maybe it's not just the COVID. I think it is also being indoors. I just see myself doing things where I'm like, what am I doing right now? I don't know. You know, it's, you know how they say you get baby brain when you're pregnant?
I've is heard. That true?
I've not been pregnant, but maybe it's like COVID brain.
Yeah, okay.
You know, kind of gives you brain worms. So
I remember we were messaging and it was like, I think 4 a.m. for you or something very early. I was like, is this person having a fever dream texting spree? Is she okay? I don't know. She's probably fine, but I was up because, you know, the time difference. But I get that. I know what you mean.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. And my friend who's actually, funnily enough, she's chronically ill. So she's always got like a kind of messed up sleeping pattern. And she was like, oh, you're joining the 3 a.m. crew. And now we like send each other memes at 3 a.m. because we're both awake. So, you know, there's been some camaraderie. I can never say that. I just feel like I'm saying camaraderie. But
right.
Anyway.
That's like the word compatriots. I always say, because it's like compatriots, but anytime I say that word, I say compatriots and I can't resist. And it's like, I mean, it's like, it's not even a funny joke. I just do it because it's like, that is that word for me now. And I think it's okay to redefine the language changes throughout over time. So if you want to add sort of.
And you can change the spelling. Curvy,
yeah. Mm. Yeah. 100%.
You know, when in school at the age when people started knowing what cum meant, I was like 12 or something and all my friends were saying it, and I kid you not, a couple of years went by and I still didn't, and I was too afraid to ask.
Word cum or learn what cum was?
I didn't know what they meant by cum and why it was so funny. I was like, when they were like, cum over here, and I was like, yeah, well, of course you would go over there. I just didn't. Also, fun fact to share with the people who have also had repressed upbringings, I also didn't know that women, AFAB people, could masturbate till I was 17. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the kind of upbringing.
That. They can masturbate? Women can masturbate?
Oh, no.
This
Noah,
is news
you
for me.
Are at the ripe age of 24.
Yes. Yeah.
It's never too late.
Well, because like I heard they can't pee. Right? There's
yes,
that sort of
true.
Fact about the biological fact.
And there's only one hole.
Wait, I have a question. Yeah. How many holes does a woman have from the waist down?
Two.
Okay, so what are those holes used for?
A lot of things. Like, what do you mean? What are you asking?
Yeah, it's just a general, like, an easy, like, biological question. What are those two holes used for?
I mean, like, bathroom-wise?
Yes.
Poop and pee?
Poop and pee.
Yeah.
And then where's the sex one, dude?
The pee one.
Okay. Oh my god.
What's your point?
Oh my god.
What's the joke?
That's so cute. That's so fucking cute, dude. It's like, dude, you really never had a woman like.
What is going on? What, you pee from your butt?
Yeah, I remember seeing that discourse going on, and that was mm-hmm. sort of exciting to be reassured that that's true. and yeah, it's sort of, I'm a big fan of biology. I think it's great. I think
chromosomes, all that stuff is facts awesome. And logic. There's only two genders because that's biology.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right, yeah. It's exciting. This breakthroughs in science lately.
This is actually a good segue. Oh, wait. No, yeah. We've had Noah on before. If you don't know who Noah is, then get with the program. Watch my podcast. Noah is the guy who's on the Pringles can. Get with it.
Yep. I'm the guy from the cartoon.
Exactly.
The superhero cartoon.
Oh, what the dad.
Omni-Man.
Oh, right. Sorry, I was thinking of the show. From... but anyway, we'll talk about Oliver Likes another time. Okay, yeah.
Go ahead. We'll have a roast off or something.
What was I going to say? Oh, speaking of biology and reproduction and that stuff, Noah, what do you think of babies?
What do I think of babies?
Yeah, what's your opinion on babies? Human babies, infants.
They get better over time, but I think I think they can be cute. I think if they aren't cute, you can't really talk about it. That's okay. That's just an unspoken rule about society. But most of them are all right. My stepsister had a kid recently, and so
we've been sort of
moving it around and sort of playing with it. I guess it's not really
Does
playing.
She let
it's
you kind hold of it? Like
I actually haven't held it yet, but I or him, but. not for any reason other than I don't know, it's like, you know, it's so he's so small that it's like an animal to me, and I guess animals can be gender too, but it's like it could be a decent pronoun there, but overall I'd give him like a 7.5 to an 8.
Because I haven't also had them.
Yeah, I haven't had to deal with them yet, so I'm sure that could change over time. I'll update you when I have a kid, because I'm sure that might change, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any babies. You know, none of my friends have had babies yet. Vast majority of my friends are gay, and, you know, as I'm sure you know, as a generalization, gay people tend to have kids a little bit later, you know, so there's a bit more hoops to jump through. But I'm excited for when they do, and eventually, I guess maybe I'd want one, maybe. But right now, babies, I'll give them like a 6 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Bit of a harsh rating.
Yeah, what's the harsh rating?
I just think that they're very snotty and loud and slobbery. And I'm not into that, you know, that's not my thing. I very don't moist like and slobber. Yeah, they pull your hair a lot as well.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever rude. I've met a baby, they pull my hair.
Mm.
And it's
no manners.
No manners, yeah. And I know they're babies and they can't help it, but, you know.
Grow up, right? At a certain point. It's 2021. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's your opinion on babies. What do you think of burritos?
Burritos?
Yeah, as in
just
the...
trying to... Yeah, I'm trying to... My brain is trying to figure out where these connect, but I am a huge burrito fan. Yeah, I would rate them definitely above babies, probably. I love burritos. That's like something, if I go to a Mexican restaurant, I'll usually consider that. That's in the top three things that I'll order. So, burritos get a 9 from me. A 9.5.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I would give them the same.
Okay.
I love burritos. Okay, well, I guess this has been a really long-winded way of me saying what the first thing I'm warming you up with today. Noah, for the listeners, do you want to describe kind of what you're looking at right now?
Okay, yeah, it's an Instagram post of a marble floor counter with a baby on the left side and a large burrito on the right. So they're next to each other, sort of perpendicular. They're running perpendicular, parallel.
Yeah.
I'm parallel. Yeah. And it's from a Instagram account called Gordito's Healthy Mexican Food. And yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Are they seeing it or is it a surprise for them?
No, they're seeing it. If you're watching on YouTube, you are seeing it. This is just for the audio people because not everyone watches it on YouTube.
Yes, audio listeners, it's a baby in a burrito. Yeah, go ahead. It's not in a burrito. It actually is, though. It's wrapped swaddled in burrito form. Yeah.
He, she, they, not it, the baby. Basically,
did
this
I
is
say
a...
it?
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
did you say it?
Sorry. That's a bad habit. I don't know. It's like, you know, I can't tell if it's human really from this far away.
Yeah. So basically, this restaurant started this tradition in the year of 2000 where they would compare babies to their burrito sizes to kind of give you an idea of how big the burritos are. So this is their first ever one. And this is... and this one I like because... I think it's more fun when the baby and the burrito are basically the same size. Or in this case, the burrito looks kind of bigger than the baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, that's
and the baby's, like, crying.
it doesn't look very happy.
This was very much on the fly. Like, they ordered a burrito, had a baby with them, and put the baby down next to the burrito and said, you know, this is these are comparable
this
in
is
size.
Your life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. And now we're going to eat you, one of you.
So I mean, if you had a baby, Noah, would you do this kind of thing?
I could see that, maybe. I don't know about putting a new baby on like a countertop. I'm guessing depending on like the food standards rating of the restaurant, like if there's a big C- on the front, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
But if the burrito was comparable in size, then yeah, I think I would. Yeah.
I mean, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Oh, I would. I would without a doubt. I'm not even going to try and preface it with any like, I would make sure it was. No, I would.
Mm.
Let's be honest.
Great.
Okay. Yeah. And I would like to be that baby. I would love to say that my parents did something like that with me, but I don't think they did. I think they did the normal thing of just taking me home and feeding me.
Yeah.
Looking
you to sleep
after
like
me.
A little idiot.
I hate it when parents do that.
Extremely cringe.
I know. So here's another one. This.
Wow.
Yeah. And they have a page called Baby Burrito Hall of Fame, and it's basically just burritos next to babies. And yeah, I have to say the best posts are the ones where they're close in size, because I'll show you some others. There's some where there's quite a significant size difference, and it's like, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's a baby, you know.
Yeah. They're definitely next to each other. It's not really, it's more like, hey, here's food and here's a human. It's not so much like...
It's like, what are you trying to say here? Yeah.
Your visual metaphor could be more clear,
exactly.
If it was an art project or whatever. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
They don't
have any
early birth children, like
newborns,
like really tiny, because some kids come out early enough
small.
To be, like, early enough to be the size of the sour cream here.
True.
Or I mean, I guess that's
called?
Not. You can't really.
What's it called before they're an embryo? You mentioned it in your latest video.
Oh, a germ.
No. Something else.
Amoeba?
It's called... Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
That would be a... let's see.
Wow, there's so many.
Ooh,
this is amazing.
This one's quite close. That's quite close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
That's awesome. It's so... fascinating that they have, well, I guess because it's like a thing that people probably bring their babies from all across town. It's not like people are just constantly walking in with newborns. Like, Unless it's that right next to a maternity ward or a hospital.
I mean, or it's if like you've gone through
in a hospital.
Yeah. I mean, if you've gone through labor for 24 hours, or that's if you're lucky, I think it can be longer for many people. I mean, you're probably damn hungry. You know?
Right. Yeah. You need to replace what you've just lost. So the baby,
oh my God, this baby is smaller than the burrito. Look at this.
Yeah, there you go. Look at him. Holy shit. They've got his soft head just flat on the wood. Amazing.
Yeah, see that? I do think. Maybe.
Unless he's got a little, put a napkin down. You're going to need a napkin anyways. Fold the napkin once, put it under the soft part.
Exactly.
Wow.
And this is,
tin foil.
Yeah, I mean, oh,
you see that one?
And they got a sombrero.
That's fun.
That is a lot of fun.
Deserves way more than 23 likes. Let me just say that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you should follow them. Their Instagram page is Baby Burrito Hall of Fame. And
awesome.
Yeah, give them some love. Show them some love.
I'm going to do that literally right now. I have Instagram open. So
imagine if the burritos are total shit, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they're not.
Like the Yelp reviews are like 1 star. There's like 40 people with babies in here. It stinks. It's loud. And the burrito wasn't even that good. Horrible.
Do you get in the US, in the UK, and I believe like Japan started the trend, but in some bits of London, there's cat cafes. I don't know if that's a thing in the US.
Yeah. Okay. There's a couple.
Okay. So cat cafes, like I went to one with my friend a few years ago, and obviously it's great for the cats, but if you actually wanted to go there to eat, it kind of stinks of a litter box.
Oh yeah,
like it just smelled of cat shit. So I was thinking like what, and there were people like eating cake and stuff, and I was like, are you not concerned? You know, I love cats, but I don't want to eat near their litter tray.
Right. Did they have the litter out in the open, or like it was just, you could smell
it? I could just smell it. I knew it was new.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell. You've got a cat. Right. Noah's got a beautiful cat.
Yes.
Where is she?
I was going to show her and hold her maybe, but she sprinted into the garage and
oh my goodness.
Is in an inaccessible place. She's essentially
she
doesn't
knows
exist
I have
on
COVID.
Earth. Yes, she let me know. She was like, I know you're doing a podcast with Tara, but I know like it's not safe and you are vaccinated, but the new variant, you're not protected against it. So she was telling me all this before coming on. And so she's in the garage hiding now from you. So it's a bummer, but if I see her come to the door, I'll definitely let her in, but kind of a bummer.
Babe is so wise. Let's be honest. Babe is, we love Babe. We stan Babe. So that's a little warm up. We've flexed our meme muscles, or it's not even a meme. I keep saying meme. I feel like I'm,
I think it could, old. Baby and burrito could be one.
It could become a meme. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do those pics go hard enough to screenshot or not? I don't think they do personally. But.
You don't think so? I guess maybe you could screen. It would be reasonable to screenshot the ones where the babies are the same size as the burrito, but other than that, probably not. And that's okay. You know, not everything goes hard enough to screenshot, right?
Exactly. So Noah, you compiled a list, and I also have a couple to add to your list. Since it's nearly the end of the year, and this will probably be the last episode of the year, we wanted to round up the most, you know, wonderful, confusing and frustrating internet moments of the year, mainly on Twitter, and just show them to you and just sort of work out what was going on in 2021.
Yes, it's a end of the year listicle in human form, in audio form. Very excited to go over this year, this wonderful year, amazing year, best year ever on record.
In all seriousness, how has your 2021 been?
It's been, I'd say it's been good. Yeah. I mean, I started YouTube this year, about 6 months ago or seven. Yeah. Probably around 7 months ago. And, that's been like, oh, now I have purpose in life. Yay. Cool. We have something to do. So, that's been great. And yeah, I finished school towards the end of last year. So it's been, the first full year of adult moment, and yeah, it's been a good year. I didn't get sick. Nobody really got sick in my family. And that's, I guess, kind of a weird barometer. No one was sick, but I mean, yeah, everybody's healthy. That's always a good barometer. So yeah, what about you? How was your year?
Yeah, I mean, much better than last year. It's been a pretty good year. I feel very grateful. I've had a, you know, very, yeah, career-wise, loving YouTube. It's great. My dog turned 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Happy belated.
So, yeah.
Were there any, real quick, any videos that you were, like, particularly proud of or anything like that?
I think one of my best videos is the one on heterofatalism. That was really fun to make. And it's a really, I think, interesting but also important concept, because people talk about being, women and a lot of the time talk about being sick of dating. And I think we should try and understand why they feel that way. And I got to reference an academic paper that I think is really awesome and kind of blew my mind a bit. So, yeah. What about you? What's your favorite video you made?
Ooh, I don't know. I think, like, probably the guide video I made, despite like all the kind of sort of things I would like to change about it, but that's every video. I think that one definitely seemed to have brought a lot of people sort of together into other places, and I was really happy with that. It was also coincidentally my biggest video, which is also, you know, like, that never hurts to have, like,
I love that. I think that's how I came across you, your 50-minute guide to leftist YouTube. It was going off on Twitter, and I kind of was a bit late to the discourse, but people were like, these are all federal agents.
Right, yeah.
I was not in on the joke, but I saw my face was there, and I was like, I hope this is a good thing. I hope this is in a positive way. And then I watched it, and I was like, phew!
Yeah.
You know? Because it could have been a guide to leftist YouTube, where they live,
right.
Where you can find them, you know.
Where you can voice your complaints.
Exactly. It was a very comprehensive guide. And I think it was cool. It was cool to see, like, how much there is out there.
So, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's good. So yeah, good years for both of us, and we hope people listening and watching have had good years. And if you have not, I think, you know, next year, I'm not going to say it's going to be better, because I feel like if I say that, we're going to get like triple, quadruple, extra concentrated COVID our way. So I'm just going to say I'm rooting for you.
Perfect. And that's all I'll say. And I agree. Yes.
Yeah. So, right, let's go through your list. Noah, do you want to just give us a brief little intro before we read it out? We're going to do a dramatic reenactment.
Yes. I was first made aware of this tweet / interaction when it was being relentlessly dunked on my timeline. Just quote tweeted, dunked on. Perfectly, you know, usual thing. But yeah, this is a uniquely sort of out of not tone deaf. It's like, what is it like when it's tone deaf, but you're just kind of embarrassing yourself in front of people and you don't know it? Something like that. That's what is happening here, basically. But yeah, I can. Do you want to play the part of Bethany, or I can?
Oh, I don't know if I could take the pressure of the leading role. You should be Bethany. Yeah. I'll just be Jerry. I can't handle that big of a role this early in my career. So
sure. Yeah, I know the script well. I've been. Yeah. Okay. This tweet is from Bethany S. Mandel. She's verified, so kind of a blue check sort of person. Related. This was a tweet on August 5th of this year. Related. How strange is it that progressives see scaring their children into wearing dirty, bacteria-filled cloth on their faces for 8 to 9 hours a day without complaint as evidence of their amazing parenting?
Jerry, we have multiple masks that we frequently wash. Our kids don't wear the same mask every day, lol.
This mask is like this after one day. And there's two images attached for audio listeners. It's a blue surgical mask with a wet brownish spot in the middle. The inside of the mask is particularly wet. It looks like it's been chewed on by someone with a very dirty mouth. Like, they drank coffee and, you know, their kids are, what, 8, 9 years old. They weren't drinking coffee. Maybe they're drinking chocolate milk. But I just assume they have a dirty mouth and they were chewing on the inside of the mask. That's what it appears to me. So.
It's just gross. And,
oh, it's disgusting. and the sort of, I mean, we could talk about the fact that it has 30,000 quote tweets and 500 retweets. That's, or 650 yeah. retweets. But just the sort of idea that you would tweet this and first of all, that this would happen, that like, and not only happen, but that it would happen consistently to the point where you feel that mask mandates should be repealed because your kids' masks are like this. When no one else's kids' masks are like this, this is just you not, I don't know. I don't know if it's on them not saying, hey, stop chewing on your mask, or if it's them, you know, I don't want to speculate on the health of their children, but if their mouths are dirty or whatever, you know, happened to make this, and just tweeting this with no self-awareness as to, hey, am I maybe the problem here? Is something I did potentially part of this, not the sort of, you know, Joe Biden or whatever, you know? So that's just my take on this. But
my theory is that she's just making it all up and she literally just like got the mask and wiped her arse with it.
That's a great theory. No, that's hilarious, and I hadn't even thought about it, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because maybe that actually is extremely likely now that I think about it, because I don't know how else it would turn that shade of brown.
Yeah. Someone, I can't remember.
Wait, can I read this? Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
No, go read this. I was just going to say someone responded.
I saw Cheetos at lunch and my mask is still clean or something. So I have to read this. My special needs adult son wears a mask in his day program. In fact, he has 3 extra in his backpack so that he can get a new one if needed. Exactly 0 of his masks have ever looked like this. He attends 5 days a week since March. Even after eating Cheetos at lunch, 0 masks. I love that qualifier, because there is few better foods to be eating that potentially would stain the inside of a mask than Cheetos, right? Cheeto dust.
And, yeah, of course. Okay,
that's amazing. Mm. Sorry, I just had to mention that. I saw the word Cheeto.
Yeah. It just, I smell bullshit. And someone in one of the quote tweets was like, oh, you're not meant to come in it. But it kind of does look like that, doesn't it? It looks more that than someone wore it on their face.
Oh, certainly. Mm. It's some wet brown mixture, and we don't like that.
We don't dig it. We don't dig it. Okay, Noah. So did you know, I know this is your list and your thing, but the plot here does thicken.
Does it?
It does. So let me talk about that. We've got a response to it.
She's a journalist, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I need to show you where is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's like a Zionist journalist or something like that. I remember reading something
like that.
She is,
which we'll get to in a minute. But this is her on the Michael Knowles show. Michael Knowles, he, unfortunately, no relation to Beyonce Knowles. He's just a shit. So let me just shout if you can't hear it.
I mean, I don't consider myself sheltered at all, but the first time I went to Reaganpalooza, I was horrified. Like, I used to go to raves in Europe and see people hooking up in pools. Do you want to hear a really gross story?
Please, always.
I'm just going to tell you. Everybody enjoy this one. My mother-in-law is hopefully not watching. I went to a rave at a bathhouse in Budapest, and I was like, I'm going to go swimming. This is great.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting chlamydia in my eye. It was horrifying.
Of all the ways I thought that would end, that's worse even than the one I was thinking. Wow.
There was no benefit to me. Someone was having fun in the pool, and I had antibiotic resistant chlamydia in my eye.
It's not even that regular weak chlamydia.
Impossible to get rid of for years. They had to put me on like a serious dose of antibiotics to get rid of it.
You can say what you want about CPAC. I went through a lot of debauchery there. I never got chlamydia in my eye.
Well, you weren't partying hard.
So, yeah, that happened to her. What do you think of that story, Noah? Does it resonate with you?
It just, there's like a recurring theme here of just like general sort of self-health malpractice. Or, okay, it seems like just don't say that. That don't, you can keep that to yourself. It's honestly totally fine if that happened to you. And it's great. It's lovely. And you made it out. You don't, your eyes look fine now. So you can just... Yeah. Not say that ever, and it'll be great. But that's just wow, incredible.
So, to add fuel to fire, someone called Muhammad responded to Bethany's tweet saying, "For the listeners, I always knew Zionists spewed shit out of their mouth," and obviously, this is funny. But he had some consequences for saying this.
Did he?
Which, yeah. So what happened next is that, by the way, just for context, Muhammad is an OnlyFans creator. I don't believe he's like a political figure in any way. He just tweets, you know. So this is his tweet about what's happened. Canary Mission, an organization dedicated to doxing, blacklisting Muslim students and academics who criticize Israeli occupation, has added me to their list. I work out and jerk off for a living.
They added him to the list because of his tweet?
Well,
or just because
it's included in his list of things he's done. Like, on, if you go to his profile, it's on there. Like, where is it? Oh, yeah, it has a long ass list. It's like, they do this to individuals, right? They give you an overview. They have this thing where they claim he's endorsing jihad, violent hatred of America, you know, all this shit.
So this is his like ACLU page, sort of like
exactly.
Reverse.
So here it is. Hatred of Zionists on August 5th, 2021. He tweeted, "I always knew Zionists spewed," and then shit is censored out of their mouth.
no link to the no context to the photo. Very, very unprofessional journalism here.
Well, they do. They got the link.
They link
there,
to the tweet.
Hyperlink. Yeah. But not to the fact that he's literally talking about someone that spewed shit out of their mouth.
A self-described Zionist and someone who clearly shit into the mask. Like, there's no... Yeah, 100%.
Exactly. So I just thought this was... I mean, on the surface, this is very funny, but in all seriousness, this is terrifying as well, because this website is literally used to attack Muslim students for speaking out for Palestinian rights. So that bit's not funny. But it's funny that he took it on the chin so well, and I respect it. So good for him. If you are looking for a new OnlyFans hottie to follow, he's got it. So I'll link that all for you.
Definitely. Handsome guy, nice
Muhammad.
Facial hair.
Woo! Yeah, exactly. He's got a, nice got a lovely moustache. So you've got another one on the list for us, haven't you, Noah? So do you want to play the role of the person that we will be reading? Do you want to do the acting?
Sure, I can. Unless you would like, unless you have a particular affinity to our content creator.
Yeah, sure. I'll do it. Okay.
Okay. Of course. There's a history here. Sorry. I totally forgot.
Is a bit of history there. I have quite a lot of love in my heart for this person, because a video on them kind of helped me blow up. So I owe her a bit. Okay. I'll try, forgive me for my accent not being great, but I'll give it a go. This is Madonna at 63. This is Nancy Reagan at 64. Trashy living versus classic living. Which version of yourself do you want to be? And it's got photos. On the left, it's got Madonna just chilling in bed, you know, in some fishy nets and some heels. And then on the right, it's got a family photo of the Reagans with the kids and the grandkids. And I believe, that's it. Noah, tell us what inspired you to put this in your list.
Yeah, so this singular post ignited a dialogue on Twitter that was, I think, one of like the bigger sort of periods of time where people were talking about the same thing, and it basically caused people to resurface and spread the fact from Nancy Reagan's biography, which was done, I forget the author's name, but
do you want to read that?
Oh yeah, is it? I think it's down there, right? Yes. So Kitty Kelly is the biographer, and here's the article. According to Kitty Kelly's biography, Nancy Reagan was renowned in Hollywood for performing oral sex. Just Say Yes, Nancy, in the days when she was Nancy Davis, was known to give the best blowjob in town. Is Just Say Yes, Nancy a, is that a nickname? That's like a nickname referring to the...
Yeah, sort just of, say yes, Nancy. Yeah.
Right, right. So Nancy Davis was known to give the best blowjob in town, not only in the evening, but in offices. That was one of the reasons that she was very popular on the MGM lot. It must have made her very popular with Ronnie as well. So this, you know, obviously it blew up a lot because people were talking about this. And I think like it's very important to add the caveat. This does not come from a place of shaming Nancy Reagan for her, you know, oral sex proclivities. It's kind of like, that's really awesome in a way, you know, despite her being an evil person. Like, it's like the hypocrisy of Classically Abby, you know, putting this comparison of trying to slut shame Madonna for, you know, wearing underwear or whatever, and then hold up Nancy Reagan, one of the probably most evil people on her. She's on a list somewhere. You know, it's obviously clear hypocrisy, and it's not meant to slut shame, you know, her, but it's sort of a funny like fact that I think nobody really knew. I mean, people knew obviously because it's in a biography, mm-hmm. but this brought it back to light. And then, so following out from this, you had everybody talking about Nancy Reagan giving the spin cycle 3000 or whatever, or like me showing up to hell and it's like, where is Nancy Reagan or whatever, those kinds of memes. Just, you know, a lot of funny sort of takes on the situation. So yeah, that I thought that was worth sharing. But did you have any thoughts on that one?
The fact that she hasn't responded to it. I mean, she's written a blog post, which you have to subscribe to read, and I'm not giving her my data. But basically, like, I went viral. But the thing is, it's just like, it's not surprising, but it's still frustrating whenever you see it, you know?
Right. Yeah, of course. I do think it's interesting that her takeaway from it wasn't that she was completely, like, obviously wrong and promoting this, you know, extremely regressive sort of slut shaming mentality, but that she went viral. And you know what, to be fair, she did, and not for the right reasons, but that doesn't mean it wasn't any less viral. So good on you. But yeah, it's very funny that was the takeaway, not like a moment of self-reflection, like, hey, maybe there's something about my sort of the way I live my life that is, you know, kind of bad. I don't know, you know.
But I think that's the thing. If you're like a trad wife or a conservative, whatever, like you're like, oh, it's just the left are attacking me for saying my opinion and all this. And it's like, the point is that you're putting down other people in the process. Like it's the shaming of it. It's, but she acts like she's kind of being victimized for her choices. And it's like, no, people are pointing out your hypocrisy. Right. That's the thing. It's like, oh, conservative women, we're attacked for being conservative. It's like, no, you're attacked for your opinions, which right. are bad.
For your horrible takes. Goose. Yes.
Yeah, bad takes, you know. So what a silly goosey. Oh my God, I'm so excited for the next one, mate. Okay, so I love what you've titled it as well.
Yes.
Matt Walsh creeping around foreign PTA meetings. And I will let you read these and then you can explain all.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I could try to do a Matt Walsh voice. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Like something like, Loudoun County changed the rules so that only residents can speak at the school board. In unrelated news, I'm proud to announce that I am now a resident of Loudoun County. Just rented a home in the area. I'll have the lease agreement. See you at the meeting. It's sort of like, so this is in reference to Loudoun County is basically the inception point battleground area county for the fight over critical race theory, right? So it was the Loudoun County PTA meetings and parent Facebook groups. It's like one of the wealthiest counties in the United States by property value, and one of the, I don't know if it's one of the whitest, I don't remember the exact racial demographic, but it's one of the most conservative. And Matt Walsh is, you know, saying I just want to look at this again. He rented a home in Loudoun County. I don't know where he's from. I think he probably is in California or something, so that he could go to these school board meetings for a school that I don't even know if he has kids, but if he does, they do not go to school there because he doesn't live there. So he's coming as a conservative media person to show up at these school board meetings, which, you know, over the course of this whole time have become this politicized area, unlike they ever have been before. And it's just insane. It's what an insane person does to like literally, you know, transplant, like, you know, fly across the country or whatever to show up at like a high school meeting where they'd normally be talking about like the budget for the school supplies or, you know, whatever happens in PTA meetings. And it's very indicative of like how sort of, how massive of an opportunity these conservatives see critical race theory outrage and this sort of, you know, astroturfed, stoked flames of racial resentment, whatever. They're trying to make your white kids mad, or they're trying to make your kids mad for being sad for being white or whatever. Like, it's very indicative of how much they see this as an opportunity to gain political power and gain political influence and ride the tidal wave of this movement. And yeah, it's just an insane, just a deranged, it's what a deranged person does. And, you know, I don't mean to shame like mental illness. I'm just saying like specifically doing this is like, yeah, it's wild, you know? So that's why I thought it was worth sharing.
So anyways. Did this turn out to be true? Because when I read this, I'm like, surely not. Surely he's just fucking with us, right? Oh, wow. He made an event.
Yep. Ashburn, Virginia. Yeah.
Wow.
At this important rally to protest the transgender policies enacted in Loudoun County schools. Oh, so it wasn't, I mean, Loudoun County is like a specifically like tense area with all this stuff, but I guess this one specifically was about transgender policies. And so the one, I don't know if you're familiar with that scenario in that school, but I think it has to do with bathroom policies. So like there was a trans student who, wanted to use the bathroom of their preferred gender, and then they didn't let them. And basically they made it this whole thing where I think they were using the bathroom and it was fine until some parent found out. I'm not exactly familiar with the story, but basically it's like they're trying to restrict bathroom rights and do the thing where they check your birth certificate. Not actually, but like, yeah, just like, you know, insane stuff. And so it really was kind of specifically targeting one student, which is the worst part about it. But just sort of absolutely insane. And yeah, I'm just reading an article here. It says that he did rent a house, at least in you know, the article's going off of his claim. It's an ABC article, but
I mean, he works for the Daily Wire and they have like loads of money backing them, so I guess he probably gets paid quite nicely for making his shitty content. So
right, yeah, no, it's great, we love it, it's awesome. America's a beautiful country and freedom is
no what feedback, no notes.
Yeah, just, you know, thumbs up.
So we're going to take a slightly different turn here, away from the political, I think, and click this next one on your list. And how about I read it?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so men stop thinking a walk or hike is a date challenge. So tell us why you added this to the list.
Yeah, so I think the idea that hiking, specifically as a first date, it's perfectly reasonable to make fun of and say that that's not, you know, that's not like, it's kind of a lot. I think that's totally fine. It, for me specifically, it's the addition of walk in this tweet that makes that makes it so it's just so funny to me because it's essentially setting up this sort of standard of what a date is. Men, you know, if you think men, if you want to walk, you want to walk, that's not a date. Okay. If we're going to a restaurant or we're going to a bar, I want you to appear there. If you walk in, that's not like, if we walk there together, we have to meet at the bar. Cause if we walk together, that's just like, what are we doing? We're adults, right? We can afford $30 drinks. Why are we not just doing that instead of walking? Like it was just that. And then of course, like in the replies, they're like dying on the hill of, you know, it's not good for a first date to go for a walk. And I guess I took it a little personally because I'm a huge walk proponent. I've been on walk dates because it's a simple, you know, just going for a walk doesn't mean you can't go do something that like is more like get a drink or get a coffee. Like it doesn't restrict that. Right. And I guess like there probably are potential things like on a first date, if you're walking in the woods or if it's unsafe, totally reasonable. But we can try to find like where they were saying that it's just like, you know, it's not a date. Going for a walk is not a date. Because what are you supposed to talk about? You know, when you're walking, like look at us, left foot, right foot. Like, oh, it's like, no, you can talk about anything you would talk about at a bar or at a coffee shop while you're walking. And that's sort of, yeah, maybe this is just me taking it personally as a walk enjoyer, but I don't know. You guys can let me know, or you can, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, that's an it's interesting that she says a date, not first date, because if she said men stop thinking it's a first date, then I can understand that. But a date in general, I mean, I'm also a walk proponent, but I think part of that is that I have a dog, right? So for me, that would be an icebreaker. Like, you know, and I personally think it's way lower pressure than going to dinner. I hate dinner dates personally. I think, oh God, they just, nothing makes me like fight or flight than like having to sit down at dinner, and if it's shit, then you have to wait till the, you know what I mean? Whereas like walk is so low pressure.
Yeah. I was actually just thinking about that. Like, yeah, real quick, the first date, like at a restaurant, at a potentially nice-ish restaurant, I like being extremely attentive to the way that I am eating, like to the way that I am cutting food. I don't know if anyone else experiences this, but it's like, it's different. Not like I'm just going to be like, you know, scraping food into my throat once we go on a second date or whatever. I mean, like there's a specific sense of anxiety for me personally around like table manners etiquette. And it's not because I'm like insecure about that. It's just like, it's definitely like I'm supposed to, you know, be all right, because this person doesn't know me, so I need to show like that's just a thought that's in the back of my mind. And maybe that's just weird, but
I feel like a bit vulnerable. I don't know, I don't like when people watch me eat, people I know, mm-hmm. let alone someone I'm trying to impress, you know. I don't
right.
know,
it's yeah.
just yeah. I mean, yeah, but the thing is also, people say, oh, dinner in a movie is really unoriginal. So I think it's quite hard to gauge what is a good date or not, because you hear a lot about what's a bad date. And it's like, okay, but what's a good date? I don't know. I just think it's interesting. A walk. Yeah, that is funny. A hike, I get, you know.
Mm-hmm, that's, totally.
Because if someone says, do you want to go for a hike? And you know you're not athletic and you sort of go, you feel like if you say no, you look beta. or if you say yes, then you'll go and you might embarrass yourself. So I get that. The walk thing is, yeah, it is quite funny to me. Yeah, especially as someone who has a dog. And I think that's, maybe that's a terrible date idea. Maybe, oh dear.
Maybe we're just in the wrong. Maybe we are sort of blinded by our lust for simple walks, and we just aren't thinking straight and real.
We just want to see squirrels with big nuts in their mouths. There's something wrong with us there.
It's perverted. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
To return to traditional values.
Yeah, I mean, and it's especially weird because you take Babe on the walks on a leash and someone's like, oh, you're walking your cat. And you're like, yeah, that's really standard. Everyone walks their cat. So
right, yes. Yeah. Everyone drags their cat behind them, like, because they don't want to be there because cats don't like going on walks. But you take them anyway because it's just what you do. You know, I was raised that way. My grandfather, my great-grandfather used to take his cat for a walk on the pier or whatever the thing. Cat would get splinters. It was a mess. But, you know, it's all about family history or something. I don't know.
I think it's also a good litmus test. I mean, in all seriousness, if you have a dog, you want to know if people like dogs. So by bringing a dog, you can gauge that, right?
Sure. You can,
and if they're like, then it's like, okay, well,
right.
Say you're not, and then, you know?
I guess I could see in some cases, like, Siggy's a very sort of intimidating, potentially dangerous dog. So I could see people wanting to, it's like, oh, do I want to go to a pit bull fighting ring for my, you know, it's like that sort of thing. So I could see that. But I think generally speaking, for most people's dogs, it's not a big deal. So
yeah. Interesting. This is fascinating. So basically we've just died on this hill unnecessarily. But no, targeted a random
Twitter individual.
I'm a fan of walks. I love walks. I love forest walks, but I guess what you said earlier about it maybe being questionable, I think is a good idea, just because maybe for a first date walking in the forest, he could either anyone could turn out to be a vampire or a murderer. So
right,
that's a good point. So
of course,
yeah, well, anyway, next one.
Yeah, okay. So this is the last of my list of tweets of the year. So
okay, so do you want to just say what the original tweet was, and then we can explain the context of the quote tweet.
Yeah.
Because I always think, yeah. So
this tweet is from the TikTok influencer Addison Rae, and it's a photo of her in front of a UFC media backdrop. She's holding a microphone, and the quote says, "I studied broadcast journalism in college for 3 whole months to prepare for this moment." And, yeah,
this
and
tweet?
Then I the quote tweet, it says, "I got a 33 on my ACT and was a national merit semifinalist, spent thousands of dollars and hours of hard work to receive a bachelor's degree from the best journalism school in the country, was commencement speaker, and applied to 75 plus jobs to be unemployed." Yeah, I guess this is kind of I don't know if it's nepotism or like, not nepotism, but like bypassing the, you know, taking a position from someone who actually deserves it. And so the context of the photos is that she actually did go around interviewing people like a journalist would. And she's like a TikToker. And, you know, not to say TikTokers can't be journalists potentially, but she has no, like she says, 3 months of preparation versus someone that could have had the job. And it might seem nitpicky, but I think the main thing is like, just posting that and not having the awareness of, oh, hey, like, also because the footage is really bad. I should have linked it, and I don't remember exactly where it is, but mainly it's like doing this thing that someone who deserved to be doing it could have been doing. I guess it's that basic sentiment, you know? So, and yeah, she gets her ass beat in the quotes, and that's how I remember finding this, so.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say though is, I think she is joking though, right? Isn't like, and I think people, a lot of people didn't. Yeah, and I know you're aware of that, but I think people assumed that she was being earnest in saying that, like, my 3 months, you know. Whereas I think the whole joke is that, like, I ended up here, which I think is a bit like maybe read the room, you know. But yeah, I just thought it was also funny that people got so riled up over it, because it's like, it was, I don't know, for the UFC thing. And I mean, if that's what you want to do, but like, I don't know, when we talk about like that's not like the sort of top of the list for every journalism student necessarily.
True. Yeah. Maybe. Wasn't it like a Jake Paul fight or something? It might have been.
Right. Yeah. And it's
a good point.
Yeah. If it was like, I'm going to be Kate Middleton was, she was editor-in-chief at the Huffington Post UK for a day. If it was something like that, where, I don't know, yeah, they got to be at the New Yorker or something, then I could see why journalists would be really angry. But it's
sure.
Like a boxing match. I don't know. I just sort of think, are you really missing out on that much?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it might be a sort of symptom of my Twitter brain, because I'm very much like, I read something, I'm like, you know what, that's true, like that is really fucked up. But then if you take a step back, like you said, it is kind of like she's probably just like, her, you know, manager was like, hey, they want you to do this thing, show up, hold the mic, go around, ask questions, do your thing.
That being said, it does seem like she's bloody everywhere and is doing everything, and I could understand why people are like, why do we keep seeing her everywhere, what's going on? Like her management, I mean, they're really they're doing their jobs, they're getting her everywhere.
Yeah, so, I think she was casted in the Lord of the Rings as Frodo.
No,
like the show. Yeah. I saw that they did really good with the makeup, but really exciting. So
oh, you got me there for a minute, because I'm a gullible little goose. It's like, who's she in Lord of the Rings? Okay. So this is from a Twitter account called Yes We Homeschool. And the tweet is, any English teacher who uses they, them as a singular pronoun should lose their teaching license. Sorry, I buggered that up, kids. But you get the point, right? Any English teacher who uses they, them as a singular pronoun should lose their teaching license. Isn't that beautiful, Noah? Isn't that just it's like a sunset.
Chef's kiss. Oh,
it
yeah.
Really is.
It's like a perfect top right corner goal, just from the 40-yard line. Just a beautiful sight.
Exactly. I mean,
pronouns.
Yeah.
Pronouns. Exactly. How do they work?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like conservatives getting owned. Or no, accidental conservative dunks. There's like accidentally. Progressive or whatever, like where they're like, you know, so all these socialists just damn want free food and healthcare. This is fucked up. And it's like, or they say it in a way that's a bad example, where it's like they're advocating for it while thinking they're not, you know, like oh yeah, America totally should have it where kids can get free lunch. Like, yeah, just give it to them, hand it out to them so they're not hungry. Imagine. And it's like, yeah, exactly, you know, that's kind of like in the vein of like they're in the same breath saying, you know, genders are crazy, and that's why, you know, genders, they just use the anyways, I'm over explaining it, but yeah,
no, you're right, no, exactly. And I found another one of a similar realm which is also beautiful, and this involves Keemstar.
I heard the Irish come out for the Keemstar.
Yeah, Keemstar. Keem, they, them. I'm not calling one person two people. That's unmathematical. Someone responds, if you don't know someone's gender, how will you refer to them? Someone responds, by the way they look. And then another person responds, just zooming in on the they.
Yeah.
And it's...
Oh, it's just wonderful.
Justice.
Yeah. Like, it's like... How have you not seen the memes where people are using they, like the pronoun they, in the same sentence, and not just like really quick spell check to see if you're using it? Because there's probably a way you could have worded that where, you know, you get away with it. You say like, I look at a person and I see, you know, a man or a woman or whatever thing that someone would try to use to justify like essentializing it or whatever. And they still manage to sneak the word in. And hi. Amazing. I just noticed you're holding the puppy.
Hey, pup. Well, she's 3 years old now.
But yes.
She'll always amazing. Be a baby.
She's of podcasting age.
So this person tweeted, I met a man who told me he doesn't know anything about Joe Rogan beyond Fear Factor. I've never been more aroused.
Amazing. Shout out to that. Shout out to that fella. We stand a we stand eating bugs and not doing race science on a 3-hour podcast. We stand.
Are your opinions on Joe Rogan?
You know, I think he's sort of a dumb guy in the sense that, like, the thing is, like, when you leave all your sort of thoughts and opinions open to debate, then you just have, you kind of, anything that comes in one ear, you can be like, yeah, that's great. And like, I would describe myself as being dumb. You know, I would say, like, I don't know if I were in his scenario, like how people would perceive me, but I think the Joe Rogan show, like, definitely did a lot to change podcasting, to change online media, and credit where it's due.
Wriggling for dear life. She was like, let me out. Yes, I know what you mean. Same. I sort of think if I had a podcast of that magnitude, I'm sure I would accidentally well, not that he does it accidentally, I'm not trying to let him off the hook, but you know, he spreads a lot of misinformation intentionally and unintentionally. And I could see myself doing that because something's just go over your head and you just sort of don't realize. But I'm not saying that's what he's doing. He knows about the ivermectin shit. Like, or maybe he doesn't. Yeah. Maybe he does believe it. I don't know.
There's a sense of, like, he seems pretty earnest a lot of times, but that doesn't like excuse when repeatedly making the same factual errors, like insisting on their credibility while not actually, like, really engaging with the research on whatever it is. And I'm not sure if it's a symptom of, like, being someone who's kind of been the guy in podcasting or whatever, or like being, you know, pretty famous for a long time, but it also, like, it is very, if you just look at the sort of lineup of guests, there always kind of is, like, a general narrative of, like anti-establishment, this person's canceled, whatever, that definitely contributes. And, like, yeah, he, like, the meme he posted the other day on his Instagram was, like, the political compass chart, right? And
yes,
it was like, the hard times make strong men, strong men make good times, good times make soft men make hard times, you know, is that thing. But it was put onto the political compass to where the authoritarian right was the strong men, and so the authoritarian right strong guys make good times. Hell yeah, that's awesome. And so it's kind of like, that's the type of thing where it's like, it's just a pretty dumb, that's a dumb guy thing, but it's an old fashioned meme of, like, you know what? Yeah, that sounds right. Back when men were tough, they made America great. And now America's crap because of lattes and avocado toast or whatever. Yeah, and it's like these sort of, like, sort of boomer narratives. I guess it's a little bit of everything, but I spoke for a long time about my opinions on Joe Rogan, but.
No. The reason I ask is because I don't really have many opinions on him. I mean, it's completely not my content. But I do agree with this person that if someone either doesn't know Joe Rogan or doesn't like Joe Rogan, I think for me that is a good sign.
Mm. Personally. How do you view Joe Rogan podcast consistent listener? Like, someone who is a consumer?
Here's the thing. I think he's let people get away with so much toxic shit on his podcast that I think if you endorse that and you think that's okay to spread misinformation, I'm not sure that's gonna, unless you, like, hate listen to it, if you listen to it as someone who, I don't know, to unironically love his content, I think wouldn't be the person for me, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
It's just like, he had on, I think her name's like Abigail Scher, and she did that book, which was like not done methodically at all. It was all about
transgender craze, irreversible damage.
Yes, exactly. And it's this horrible book that doesn't use real data or like uses skewed data and testimonies from parents as opposed to trans people themselves. And basically the book is just meant to be a hit job on trans men, trans boys.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. And he had her on there and like no pushback. And I think this is the case with all his guests. He doesn't, I think Hassan described him like as a chameleon. And he just, whoever's on that day, he'll be like, oh, okay. And it's like, no, if you're a responsible platformer, you would say, no, that's not true. Or could you give evidence to back up that claim? You know? And he does not do that. So, and obviously he, I think, has more, or at least from what it looks like, I haven't seen all the episodes, but it seems like he does have more right-wing creators than he doesn't have progressives on that often from what I've seen.
Yeah, it's a definite lean in the, you know, in the guest types, like he'll do.
So swaying the audience a certain way.
It might just be that his views align more, like as he's gotten older or whatever. He used to be like, he's never probably a leftist, but he's probably like a liberal kind of American liberal. And over time, the narrative of media and whatever sort of might be him or it might be intentional. I don't know, but it definitely has like a, you know, conservative leaning. Cause it's like, yeah, every other person is like some doctor that discovered how to cure COVID with like bugs or whatever. And yeah, it's interesting to note and just keep that in mind, you know.
Did you ever go through a Joe Rogan phase?
I never was that into the podcast. I would listen to it if there was people on. I think I listened to like, I'm trying to think of the last one that I listened to fully, like probably with comedians or whatever. It's been a while, but I never had like a real Jordan Peterson phase or Shapiro phase or any of that, or Rogan for that matter. And I've grouped them all together. Maybe that's not, it's kind of a spectrum, right? But I never really had any of that beyond like, oh yeah, cleaning a room is dope. And like, oh yeah, Joe Rogan kind of has cool like people, talks with like whatever. I think like Reggie Watts, I remember listening to that one because I really am a huge fan of Reggie Watts. He's a
he's a cool musician dude.
Yeah, he's a super cool guy. And so whenever someone that I like goes on there, I'll listen, and most of the time it's not bad because like it is like a conversational tone, which is great for people that are, you know, not freaks. But when freaks come on and it's just, yeah, let's talk to Charles Murray or whoever, it's like this is maybe not the best, you know.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? He's, I think, maybe too friendly and doesn't push back, and that's really an issue when you've got people who, you know. So
yeah.
Well, actually, there is this funny clip of him pushing back Dave Rubin a little bit. Dave Rubin dubbing himself, like him say talking about zoning laws and how there shouldn't be zoning laws when building things, and then Joe Rogan's like, no, that there's a reason for those.
Do you want the government to tell you how to do all these things and all the regulations that you got to have your electric thing this far from this and like all
the regulations like that for construction are important though. You do have to make sure that people don't do stupid shit.
But
you don't have a power line, it's near a water line. There's a lot of.
But I would put most of that on the builders though. They want to build things that are good. Now I get it.
That's not true. Listen, people are going to build corners all the time. Like you have to have regulations when it comes to construction methods, or people are going to get fucked.
They cut corners when there are regulations anyway.
They do. They would cut a lot more if there weren't regulations.
I'm not totally.
If you go to third world countries and look at construction methods, they're fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
That's why schools collapse on kids in foreign countries sometimes. Like,
Yeah, most of the time it seems as if he is too agreeable.
Sure. It does really quickly remind me of when Candace Owens came on and was like, I don't believe in climate change.
I fell victim to the idea that like it was progress. It was progress. It was progress. We have to care about the environment. It was progress. And it's like, no, like we've been losing. America has been losing. And Donald Trump understood that in a way that I didn't. And
think we have to care about the environment? Like,
not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit?
No. Okay. Let me clarify this. I don't throw trash on the ground. Like, I'm not saying like we need to like, you know, trash the environment. Like, but do I believe in climate change? No. fact that there is a disparity in the science community about whether or not it's real is enough to...
It's very little. Yep. Very little disparity. But, most scientists, the vast majority, agree that human beings are negatively affecting climate change.
There was like a back and forth there that I thought was good. It's not like, oh, gold star for you. But, you know, it was very funny because it was like, yeah. That's how... It was really indicative of how it kind of... just like shameless Candace Owens is in her pursuit of like appeasing the conservative side is like, yeah. It's pretty rare to find somebody that says, yeah, it's just purely not real. It's like in media at least, because there has to be some sort of like spin on the narrative. Like, yeah, it's happening, but it's not because of us, or you know, there's usually some sort of mask, but she just went mask off and said, no, it's none of it. You know, every scientist, don't worry about it. And that was just like a definitely very kind of funny moment, but mostly that's just to incredible. Show Candace Owens kind of deal. But yeah.
Good fun.
But overall, what do we grade Joe? Like a C or something? I don't know.
I'll give him a C.
Out of 10 to keep it consistent with the babies and burritos.
Oh, well, I much prefer babies and burritos. Burritos are like up here.
Mm.
Babies are here. Joe Rogan's like down here. But, you know, Shapiro and all that are way down here. So he's not the worst, but he's also not babies and he's not burritos.
Sure.
So
the ideal human experience is holding a baby while eating a burrito while listening to the Joe Rogan Experience. That's like... You basically achieve nirvana by doing that. Not a lot of people know that, but yeah, it's surprising. Really? But yeah, it's how you transcend. So,
not sure if I agree with that. I think I'd rather not the baby and just the burrito for now.
Right.
Just because I feel like the baby might try and eat your burrito.
Mm. Yeah, that's very true.
With their little hands, they might
hold it by its scruff over here, you know? And then just eat the burrito over here where I'm safe.
Babies don't have those.
Scruff?
No.
Like you can't pick them up by the... Oh.
No, like you do with Babe.
That explains why people don't stop letting me carry their kids. But it's... thanks for the heads up.
So that was a good roundup, I thought. I thought we covered some important ground there. Do you have a personal highlight for yourself, or do you feel like they all have a special place in your heart?
Let me look at the list again just to refresh my brain.
Yeah, true.
I think it has to be the poopy mask. That was the...
I was gonna say, I think that was my
too,
favorite.
Too fun. Too...
Yeah.
Too not self-aware. Like, that was just beautiful. Perfect, you know? Really keeping was, that tweet up it? After getting...
Yeah, on, you know, it's still beautiful. Up.
Yeah.
Incredible, isn't it?
Definitely.
What about you? I think that's my personal favorite, and also because I think it will carry through to next year, because unfortunately this situation is not going anywhere, and I think we need to cling on to the funny moments of anti-maskers because otherwise we'll just all be in despair. So we've got to cling on to the funny and those moments of comic relief. And it's also just incredible. I want answers. She never will tell us the answers, but I want to know, did she sneeze in it? Did a bird shit in it? Does she actually just have stanky breath? What happened? I want answers, but we will never get them because she probably has too much pride.
You could email her and get her on the podcast and see, perhaps.
Somehow. Maybe.
Dedicated to interrogating this woman on the health of her child's mouth.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. That's, I'm not sure how that will fly in terms of titling it. True. Inspecting a child's mouth, you know? Yeah.
A little suspicious.
Not so sure. Yeah. But
workshop the title, but.
Yeah. But that would be my personal highlight, I think. Though I do enjoy I do enjoy the Classically Abby one. But I think the poopy one is my favorite just because of the fact that it had a saga after. I love that the side story with Muhammad. I found that quite entertaining. And I think that was how I became oriented. I don't know. How I came across that situation was through him. Him saying, I'm on this page. And I was like, oh, I wonder how he got on this page. And then he mentioned the comment about spewing shit. And
yeah,
it was just such a good dunk that I just thought, wow, I need to find out more about this lady. And then I found the chlamydia thing with the chlamydia in the eye. You don't even get to get chlamydia the fun way. I mean, got a feel for her, right?
Yeah, just wading in a pool.
Well, everyone else is having a whale of a time, and then you've got chlamydia that is antibiotic resistant. I mean, when she added that detail, I was like, holy shit.
That was some
so potent. You think maybe she'd be a bit more health conscious and maybe think, I'll wear masks if doctors advise people. But no.
Yeah. That's not. She could have been wearing a scuba mask potentially to save her eyes, but then it would be filled with poopy somehow. So, you know, that makes sense why she didn't.
True.
We all make sacrifices in life.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. No, what a mask, eh? I mean, don't get me wrong, after a few days, masks can get a bit, you know, but not that.
What did she say? For like 4 hours or something? Like over the course of one day?
I mean,
really, something's up.
So, unless the person's got like cholera or something, you know, no. But so what would be your finishing thoughts on the year of 2021, Noah? What notes would you give it? What would you like to improve for next year?
I think getting out more and being more social and doing more is something I want to try to do. I think like the carryover from the previous year of like being shut in, and I would consider myself like a kind of homebody in a way. That carryover definitely, I think, still lingers. And I like, now that I'm in a new place and there's people I know where I can go hang out and everything, I think that's basically getting out, getting back out into the world, really. Because like, yeah, last year was kind of supposed to be the year, but obviously now things have, you know, changed in that regard. But yeah, I think that's just it. Maybe, yeah, some YouTube collaborations like we were talking about, and just trying to keep going with life and with stuff. So that's what I'd say. How about you?
I think mine would be, yeah, to do more social things and maybe do things that scare me a little bit more, you know, like big social situations, approaching people for collabs, you know, traveling. Because I love traveling in theory, but in terms of the actual traveling part, getting on planes and stuff, I find a bit like, I don't know. I don't love that part, but I need to just sort of get over that because there's so much to see in the world. and I haven't traveled because I wasn't much of a traveler before the Panasonic because I just didn't have the disposable income at the time. So it'd be nice to actually see some more of the world and visit places. And yeah, so that's what I'm hoping for next year. But honestly, at least for the beginning of the year, it's not looking too promising, at least in the UK.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Prayers up. Hopes up.
Yeah. Papa bless. But
prayer hands.
Yeah.
Papa bless. Classic.
Exactly. Do you want to tell the people where they can find you?
Yes. My YouTube channel is just my name, Noah Samson. And that's kind of, you could just type in Samson and other platforms, you might find me. And that's pretty much it. So
okay, in 3, 2, 1, bye-bye now,
bye-bye,
bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye now, bye-bye,
bye-bye now,
bye-bye.